2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, this is God's infallible word. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, as we considered last time from this passage, godliness is at the heart of what it is to be a Christian. Living a life with God at the center. Godliness. A life of trusting and loving and worshiping and revering the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Having, you remember, the triune God of Scripture continually in our thoughts. This is godliness. But how can we examine godliness in our lives? What practical test can be applied to measure both its genuineness and its growth? Sometimes godliness can be a bit hard to put our finger on. We considered some ways last time. But this morning, God in His Word continues to give us a very helpful, practical way to test and examine our godliness. And this is important, because as we considered last time, it is possible to have a form of godliness, but to deny its power. One of the practical expressions of godliness is brought to our attention in 2 Peter chapter 1 as Peter gives yet another fruit of saving faith. Now here it is. It's in verse 7. And to godliness add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Matthew Poole, the commentator on the Bible, once wrote, "It is vain, it's empty, it's useless, to pretend true religion and yet be destitute of brotherly love." These things that Peter mentions aren't just haphazard elements of the Christian life. There's a flow to them. There's a gospel logic to them. And so immediately after he has turned our attention to godliness, and having our thoughts on God and living a life before God and revering and loving and obeying and worshiping God, he very naturally and importantly and helpfully comes to this next element, which is brotherly kindness. Because brotherly kindness is so clearly in Scripture one of the great evidences of true godliness. I think Matthew Poole was simply paraphrasing what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 4. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see this issue that Peter raises, brotherly kindness, brotherly love, is the real practical test of any godliness we profess. Any professed love to God and worship of God and life devoted to God. This is where the Holy Spirit puts his holy finger on our lives. You say this, but what about this? The word Peter uses here gives us in English, interestingly, the name of a well-known American city, Philadelphia. Boys, girls, have you ever heard of that city, Philadelphia? I think they have a hockey team called the Flyers. Some of you are on a soccer team that's called the Flyers because you have the same colors as the Philadelphia Flyers. Philadelphia is a word that means, it comes from Greek, which means brotherly love. Adelphos in Greek is the word for brother, Philadelphia. And phileo is a Greek word, a verb, which means love and affection. It's not the well-known Greek word for love, agape, that maybe you've heard of. That's the word that Peter uses next in his list. But this word is phileo adelphos, Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's why many English translations, to try to capture the nuances of the two words that are used here, the last two in Peter's list, which could have both been translated love, have here for this word brotherly kindness. It's not that it's not love, but it's a different word, and that nuance comes across in using not love here, brotherly love, but brotherly kindness. And of course, the object of the love and the affection in Peter's word that he uses here is very specific. Brothers, add to your faith love for brothers. Now, this is more than just a call to love and be kind to people who live at your house. The brothers and sisters in your own family. Though they're probably included in what Peter's saying here, and it would be a great start. But remember that one of the ways that the Bible describes the connection that Christians have with one another is that we are all part of the family of God. God the Father has a family. And when we begin to think that way, our minds first of all go to His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has a unique Son, the only begotten Son, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, who came to this world and was known as the Lord Jesus. He is the uncreated, begotten, not made, co-eternal, same in substance and glory with the Father and the Spirit, yet as a unique person in the Godhead, relating to the eternal Father as an eternal Son. God the Son is the Son of God the Father by nature. We, on the other hand, are the children of God by the adoption of grace. And so while Jesus is called the Son of God and we can be called the children of God, there's a similarity yet a very important distinction to be made and never to be confused or we fall into blasphemy. It's helpful to remember those highly significant and instructive words of Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 17, after the resurrection. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." There's an inclusion there. Jesus says, to my brothers and sisters, there's an equality and an inclusion. They have a Father in heaven as well, but notice the distinction in Jesus' words. He doesn't say, I am returning to our Father and to our God. He makes the distinction to highlight his unique status as the eternal Son of God, unbegotten, begotten, not made. I am returning to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so while Christ has that unique place as God the Son, all those who are united to Christ by saving faith are, the Bible tells us, adopted into the family of God. And we become the children of God by grace. And by implication then, we become, all those who are joined to Christ by faith, we become spiritual brothers and sisters in the family of God. Now, all that theology and all that truth underlies this one word that Peter uses here when he calls Christians to add to their faith brotherly kindness or brotherly love. This is the kindness and love which Peter speaks of after godliness. It is kindness, love, and affection, which is focused on and specifically directed toward other Christians. Brotherly love. That's the whole context of 1 John, when John is speaking of love. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Sometimes the love that John mentions, and he's called the apostle of love for good reason, it permeates his gospel and his letters. But in so many of these sections, people just abstract love and make it some kind of generic love. It's not. It's very specific, particular love. It is love for other Christians that is the issue. It is love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter calls us here in 2 Peter chapter 1 to make every effort then to add to our lives in Christ a growing, deepening love and affection for Christians. Christians near and far. Christians at home and abroad. Christians in Russell and Christians in Sudan. The family of God is bigger than our congregation, and it's bigger than our denomination. This is a very mind, heart, soul expanding call. Not just how am I loving the person that may be sitting beside me this morning, but in what practical ways am I showing brotherly kindness and love to Christians halfway around the world? They're in God's family. They're as much my brother and sister in Christ as the person sitting beside me whose name and face I know. What a reality to consider as we're called here to brotherly kindness in the family of God. And a love that expresses itself in thoughts, which only you and God know, in words, and in actions that are loving and kind. In our congregation here, I think in light of this verse, our congregation should be marked by, should be known for brotherly kindness. I'm glad when I hear people talk about good teaching or reverential worship or biblical church government or whatever else it may be, But my heart is always especially encouraged as a pastor when I hear people say, see how they love one another. That encourages my heart so much. How I praise God. And I know that flows out of good teaching and reverential worship and all the means of grace and things that God has given us in His Word. But I know you can have all those things and still be in a congregation that may be cold and uncaring and unkind. And shouldn't we love one another? Shouldn't we love the brethren? As Joseph Hill once said, we are children of the same Father. We are servants of the same Master. We are members of the same family. We are travelers to the same country. We are heirs of the same inheritance. How can we not love one another? You know, as soon as that word brotherly kindness comes into our hearing, as soon as it comes into my hearing, we know what the reality is. We know that not every earthly family lives in harmony. Yours may, mine doesn't. And I'm part of that family as much as anyone else is part of that family. Brothers and sisters, according to the flesh, are not always kind. You know, it should strike us deeply, the sinfulness of sin and how it gets into our relationships. The precious, close, near relationships that God has given us in His grace. That those most precious relationships, sin can get in there and make it ugly and wreck it. That should strike us deeply. The tenacity, the influence, the destructive capability of sin. That it can even get into the relationship between brothers and sisters. You know, right at the very beginning, what do we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8? Now Cain said to his, what? Brother, Abel. Let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, you know the end of the story. But Abel didn't. And Adam and Eve didn't. Do you see how shocking this is? You see how devastating this is? When sin in its effects starts to rear its ugly head in the world. Let's go out to the field, brother. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. That was right at the very beginning of humanity. The very first, mark this, the very first recorded sin after the fall. It's already at the level of murder. But even more horrible, it was the murder of a brother. Right there, the very beginning. This should strike us. The sinfulness of sin in destroying close relationships. You know, the Bible tells us, really, when we look around the world, of the rarity of true brotherly love. Titus 3:3 says, we ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what's in our hearts. And that's what so easily flows into our words and our actions. I know that people can have kindness, and there's a general kindness in the world. But is it real, biblical, spirit-promoted, God-honoring, brotherly kindness? I once had an interaction with a fellow, I won't name him, but who has a very popular radio show in Ottawa. Comes across on the radio as one of the most genial, congenial, fair-minded, even-handed, calm, cool, kind personalities on the radio. I sent him an email once about something that he was discussing on the show. The letter I got back just staggered me. My jaw hit the ground at how unkind, demeaning, insulting, ridiculing, mocking the response was. Guys, is this the same guy? It's possible to be so kind in some contexts and have a heart that is so unloving and unkind. I know what it is to be kind when I want to be kind, and when people are watching, and when I'm expected to be kind. But I also sure know what it is to be unkind to the people that I love the most and that look up to me the most. And I say and do things, and I say, where did that come from? Later. I should have said that before. Where does that come from? It comes from your heart. It shows what's still in your heart. You know, even the kindness we see in the world is so often tainted by impure motives. We are kind to look good to others. We are kind when we gain something, or we profit, or we benefit somehow from our kindness. We may be kind when it's easy or convenient to be kind. But there's more to it than that. God knows our hearts. And what is so important here is that kindness is specific. It is kindness and love toward the children of God for the sake of their Father in heaven and for the sake of Christ in them. The question here is not so much, I think, are you a kind person? But a more penetrating question, do you love the church? Do you love Christians simply because they are Christians? I know a lot of people that if I asked them, are you kind, they would say yes, and I would have to agree to a great extent. But if I were to ask them, do you love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? They would say, no, of course I don't. Why would I? But this is what Peter's getting at. Brotherly love. Brotherly affection. Do you love Christians simply because they are Christians? Not because they deserve it. Not because you know they'll be kind in return. I'll scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. But because they're Christians. Could we name our congregation Philadelphia? The congregation of brotherly love. Friends, you know, we could be so orthodox in so many ways and yet be so deficient in simply being loving, kind Christians toward one another. And it's not so much that we're just out to be mean, but we just don't think, I think, a lot of the time. We just don't open our eyes. We just don't open our hearts to those that are around us. And again, it's so important beloved, for hope and for comfort and encouragement, to remember that brotherly kindness that Peter mentions here is also a fruit that grows on the tree of salvation. As convicting as a call to brotherly kindness can be, it's a call that comes in the gospel of Jesus Christ in that context. The primary and great message of the Bible is not be kind to one another and let's see how you do. That's not the great message of the Bible. That would be bad news for everyone who's honest. The great message of the Bible to the world is look and see how kind God in Christ has been to you. That's the message of Scripture. That's the most unbelievable, though, because God said it must be believed, message of the Bible. God has been kind to his enemies, and he has made them his children. When Christ came, he took human nature into union with his divine nature, and so the Lord God incarnate in Christ became our brother in the most intimate way. Hebrews 2 says, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. But the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. That's Psalm 22 that we just sang. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises and I will put my trust in him. Here I am and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Jesus the Savior came and took our nature, human nature, a true body and a reasonable soul, was not ashamed to become our brother in order to save us. We can be ashamed of Jesus. I know that's possible. But Jesus was never ashamed of you. Isn't that remarkable? He was never, ever ashamed to be called your brother. Take time to think today about how kind and loving Jesus has been to you. The brotherly affection that Jesus has shown to you and to the church. His life, his words, his miracles, his compassion, his suffering, his death in the place of sinners. That's Jesus living out the call here to brotherly kindness. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And how great the love that Christ showed to his adopted brothers and sisters. If you are part of the family of God, Jesus is not ashamed of you, and he loves you. You know, Psalm 16 says, as for the saints who are in the land, remember Psalm 16 is the psalm that's attributed to Christ because Peter in his preaching in Acts says, you will not let your Holy One see decay. So it's a very messianic psalm, speaking of the resurrection. In that same psalm, Jesus says, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Jesus takes delight in you. We sang it at the opening psalm this morning. He delights in you. He loves you. He has been kind to you and will continue to be kind to you because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Puritans used to say, for every one look you take at yourself And for every one look that you've taken at yourself this morning in terms of brotherly kindness and our failures and shortcomings, take 10 looks to Christ. And look again at his brotherly kindness to you. Look again at his love and affection for you, whom he calls brother or sister. In Christ we have forgiveness, and in him by his Spirit we have hope to be those who are more and more people who love the church. That's a spiritual fruit. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to love the church and to love Christians. Brotherly love is the fruit of regeneration. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, this is a favorite theme of Peter. Listen to what he says. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. He's saying this is the reality. If you're saved and born again through faith in Christ, therefore that means you have sincere love for your brothers. He literally says unhypocritical love for your brothers. What's the implication? Therefore love one another deeply from the heart. Because this is what you have been given. This is what you should do. Because you love one another, love one another. Deeply, from the heart, he says. Not just in external ways, from the heart. And do it earnestly and constantly, deeply. Brotherly kindness is such a beautiful fruit of the Spirit and a fruit of grace. It adorns the gospel so attractively and so beneficially. We easily and often pray, Lord, bless me. It's more rare to hear people pray, Lord, make me a blessing to others. But this is the call to brotherly kindness. It is brotherly kindness that will make you a blessing in the church. One ancient writer said, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. That was good for me to read and good for me to remember when I meet someone. So you don't know what's happening in their life. I know what it is to be on the other side of that. So do you. Where you've been in town or you've been doing something and something's happened in your life and your heart is on the verge of being crushed and ripped apart. And no one else around you knows. And they don't see it, and they don't know. But those words here are such a good reminder. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And that's certainly true in the church. We are all engaged in a battle for our souls. We fight under the kingship of Christ. That's our hope. The victory is won, but the battle remains to be fought. And everyone that you meet in the church is fighting a hard battle. It doesn't matter who they are. They are. I know a lot of you, and I know your stories. And I know the battles, at least in part. What a reminder about how we deal with people. Be kind. What does that person beside you need? They need an encouragement. They need an encouragement. They need a token of love. They need a token of affection. There is time for taking specks out of brothers' eyes. I know. There is time for speaking the truth in love, and wounds from a friend can be trusted, I know. But there is always time for an encouragement. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Growing in brotherly kindness is such a blessing to the church. What does it look like? Well, when we consider godliness, we say it was just the first four commandments. That's how we are to live before God. Well, what is brotherly kindness? What is love toward brothers? It's summarized in the other commandments. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to try to think on our own what it is. It's at least these things summarized. What does it mean to be kind to those around you in the church? What does it mean to love your brothers and sisters in Christ? It means you honor those in authority over you. Honor your father and your mother and any in authority. It means you don't hate or hurt anyone. Instead, you overcome evil with good and you love those around you. You shall not murder. It means that you are concerned about purity and chastity with those around you, brothers and sisters in the church, young men. Until that sister in Christ is your wife in Christ, she's your sister in Christ. And Paul says to Timothy, you treat younger women as sisters. That's how you love in brotherly kindness the sisters in the church. In purity and in chastity, you shall not commit adultery. You don't steal. You respect private property. You don't steal. Thou shalt not steal. You don't lie. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. And you don't covet. You don't begrudge people things. You mourn with those who mourn, and you rejoice with those who rejoice. That's how you show love. And everything else expands out of those commandments. And what a blessing there will be for you as you grow in brotherly kindness. It's a means of assurance. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You want to grow in assurance? Grow in brotherly love. It's a token of true discipleship. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It is a means of evangelism. John 17:21, Jesus prays that they, the church, all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The unity of love and kindness. It's a means to spiritual growth in the church. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Perseverance in the faith. 1 John 2:10, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. It will keep you from greater sin and help your perseverance, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you do these things, you'll never fall. What great benefits there are. Glorifying to God, blessing to the church, and a blessing to you. So children of God, my brothers and sisters, let's remember this call that we've heard today from God. Let's remember the words of Abraham to Lot, Genesis 13:8. Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, for we are brothers. Let's be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness.